All right. Well, I'm going to move a little closer if y'all don't mind. And I won't get too close. But it's so great to be here. I always love whenever I have a chance to come and share in the ambassador class. And just some of you have heard me before, and you'll probably go, Pat, we've heard that talk before. So hopefully I can make some adjustments here that will allow this time to be really special for each of you. And so I do need a clicker here. And so if I, okay. Okay, there we go. All right. So I took the liberty of listening to Chris Hatley's message last week. And, you know, Chris is going to be up here. I'm going to be down here. Okay. And so you're going to get a nice balance. And I really appreciated the things that he had to say, and it felt like I could tie in with that. And so last week we looked at the relationship with God. He used the passage out of Romans 8 and talked about some of these ideas of how once that relationship is established, being able to call things out. And so I just took the liberty to put this up here. Do we believe what Chris taught last week from Romans 8? That Romans 8 kind of just puts together for us this relationship with the triune God. And you remember how he talked about how it's not three different gods, it's one God, but it's three in one. And it's this really incredible, remarkable thing as to how that all comes together. But as we hear, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I asked, do we believe what it said? You know, which is the beauty of this, that we are received the spirit of adoption as sons. We cry out, Abba, Father, which that just that intimate side of that. And then it says we are children of God. And so I really want us to hold on to that today as we move forward. With that kind of thought in mind, we're going to take that huge, deeply theological principle that Chris put forth for us, and we're going to try our best to bring it into a practical aspect for us today, okay? And that's why I say, you know, I tell people, hey, I'm not sure that really calling me a teacher is what I do. I think I'm really more of what I would call a reminder, okay? But hopefully in that, we'll be able to look at some things that can be really helpful to us. So Chris left us with a really important question, which is, how does the Trinity change the way you think about your relationship with God? And so I hope that that really kind of came to roost within you, and the idea of the triune God has reached down and in the infinite being that he is, has spoken to each one of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I love you. You are mine. We have the opportunity to be walking to him, to be calling out, Abba, crying out, Father, and just that beautiful relationship. And here we are on Father's Day, okay, and, you know, we have that opportunity to be able to go, wow, I want to make every day Father's Day. I want it to be a spirit of worship and thankfulness and for who he is and what he's done for us. And just as I say, we're rehearsing that very basic truth that comes forth for us. And so that side of it. Now, in humility, I had to include this. Okay? That's me in fourth grade. Okay? Now, the reality for us is that when I put that up there, relationship with yourselves, which is our topic for today, it's relationship with ourselves. Okay? But looking at it for us today, you know, I have to say, guys, if I am not careful, this fourth grade boy can still be almost fully alive within me today. I can react and respond to you with the thoughts that he had of being feeling insecure, of feeling completely naive, never knowing what was, you know, kind of going on, having to survey and check out what was going on, trying to see, am I feeling accepted? Am I feeling rejected? Reading the countenance of everybody, wanting to make sure that, you know, in sports, here I am in basketball, not my sport, okay? But, you know, but that's what every fourth grader did, okay? And then, you know, it's just all these kind of things that we're like, wow, help me, Lord. Please, I don't want this fourth grade boy still responding and reacting today? Now, if you think about it, here I am in here with you. Some of you I know. I happened to be there at the hospital when Matthew O'Hearn was born, okay? That kind of goes back a long way, I would assume, okay? But here we also, I could go, are they liking me? Are they liking me? I can't tell. I'm trying to figure out, you know. It's like, oh, that person over there, they look like they're preoccupied. Or, you know, oh, good. I'm getting a smile. You know what I mean? It's like, good gosh. But that's what, with relationship with yourselves, that can be the predominant thing if we're not careful. But then I have to say, even this one, as a 68-year-old man, I can still bring that into play. Okay? And I could go into a lot of detail, and this is why I say some of you are familiar with my story, but this year marks 20 years ago that my marriage fell apart. And so for a period of time, I wore a big fat D on my chest. And that dictated so much of how I felt about myself and how I responded to others. And I couldn't tell, you know, I couldn't even see for myself how I felt about it. And yet, you know, it's like, wow, here I am. Okay, let me be okay about it. And then, thanks be to God, 6 years ago, after 14 years of being divorced, I married a woman here, and we've been married for almost 6 years. August 31st will be 6 years. And where I go with that is a really painful story. Was that we went to Muchacho Restaurant up there in Preston Center. This is prior to COVID. It's crowded. We're sitting kind of in the waiting area. We strike up a conversation with a couple, and they're like, oh, he was going, I've never seen them before. I could not even begin to tell you what they look like today. They mentioned something about Minneapolis. My wife said, oh, I've got a son that lives in Minneapolis. And inside of me, solely because of the use of her pronoun, I had this rage come up with inside of me. And I was like, I wanted to scream out, you just told him we've been divorced. And it was such a violent emotional reaction within me that, thanks be to God, I went, whoa, what in the world? And thankfully, at that point in time, I was far enough along that I immediately repented, confessed it to the Lord, and was like, I am not going to live with that relationship as the predominant way that I do life. Now, I wished I could tell you all, even just right now, how much that comes through me emotionally. Because I realized in that, here I was making two people in a restaurant who I've never seen before, will never see again, I made them way too important. Their approval, acceptance of me. All because my wife used the pronoun I instead of we. Now, if you want to hear the rest of the story, you'll be glad to know that when we did get to our table, I was able to simply share that with my wife, as opposed to, why did you use that pronoun? Which, if I hadn't reset, you can understand why that reaction would have been understandable. And I use that with quotations. Now, I hope for all of us in here, we can have just a little bit of like, whoa, I have felt things like that before. I have seen where I am focused on people's responses and reactions to me. I've seen how I can easily let that dictate how I feel about myself. And so the beauty is that we come to Matthew 22. And I'm not going to teach Matthew 22. I'm just going to call out something for you. And we're now, you can see this in your handout. But I want you to realize this. This is a story, beautiful teaching moment that Jesus had. And he says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus responded to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Carry with me here. This is the great and first commandment, verse 39. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, I had to ask a few friends of mine, is there any chance that I am taking a scripture and trying to make it prove a point, okay, and not really utilizing the scripture appropriately? So I got the verification. It's okay to what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm admitting I'm not teaching the text, but I'm pulling out something here that he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And for us to love our neighbor as ourselves implies deeply about how we are supposed to see ourselves. I think in the world in which we live today, we're doing a really, really poor job of that. Matter of fact, I would say I think we do a terrible job of that. That it's almost, and listen to me when I say this, and see if you can understand what I'm trying to say. We hate our neighbors as we hate ourselves. Okay? That what I'm trying to help us with today is how we view ourselves. And here, the implication is that we must, it would seem, love ourselves because he wants us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so I want to focus today on that. How do we view and how do we love ourselves? There's something really good here if we look at our next slide, which is from Galatians chapter 5. And I have to be honest, Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and verses 13 are two of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. I know that sounds rather dramatic, but I'm being very honest with you. Why? Because both of them talk about freedom. Okay? And I will tell you that at Muchacho that night, I completely gave up all the freedom that I have. And I went right back into bondage. So he says here, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But look what he says here again. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And I hope that we would all go, wow, what verse 15 says is absolutely true. And I would say, you know, I've been around 68 years, okay, so I would say it's always been that way, but there is a part of me that says, but it is feels like it is way worse today, okay? That's not a political statement. That is just me living life in the world in which we live. But I want to call out here for us that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is something that Paul now is taking from Jesus' teaching and continuing to apply it. What I want us to see here, though, is this beautiful idea that isn't it great that we can be so free, look what it says, that we can serve one another. I think we all have a tendency to really think about this in this way. Well, freedom is when everybody serves me. Freedom's whenever I get to do whatever I want. Freedom is, you know, just me, me, and me. And it's kind of like, no, actually, we are so free, we're set free to serve one another. But the way that this freedom comes is when we take what Chris Hatley shared with us about the triune God and how he feels about us, and calling out what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and being able to realize, friends, we have been given an incredible relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where I want us to really be able now to kind of take what our focus is and be able to see here my big question for us: do you love yourself? Okay. Do you love yourself? I could say, ah, crud. There are things about me that I don't particularly care for. I am one who, if you see me at one point in time, you will say, oh, Pat, have you lost weight? And then next time, if you weren't very considerate, you go, oh, Pat, have you gained weight? Because I struggle with eating to live versus living to eat. I'm heavy now. I'm admitting that. I don't like that undisciplined part of me. But I can tell you this, there are other things about me I don't like either. But I can tell you this, it doesn't change the fact that I can still love myself. Why? Because I know how my Father in heaven thinks about me. And that's all that matters. Whether I'm 25 pounds up, 25 pounds down, whether I am X, Y, Z, you name it, I'm like, I know that it was never based upon my performance that I was going to be acceptable to him. It is all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we enter into those doors back there, or maybe I should say enter into the doors at the porte-cochere or whatever door you come into, that's really what we're acknowledging as Christians, is it's saying, I'm here because I know that it is only through Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. And so we come here to our next little thing, which really kind of touched on this. But when we think about Romans 8, it says we receive the spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. And then also as we are children of God. And then I ask the question, what relationship is most important to you? Now, what I'm talking about there is what relationship has the biggest impact on you, good or bad, okay? And so you'll see four of them. I could have put 40 of them up there to really go down deep. But look at where we go. First, a holy God. Second, an important person in the community. I joke with people sometimes and say that people can walk down the grand hall here, and as long as they can wave at somebody and go, oh, hey, Reynolds, you know, or hey, Mark Davis, and have that person respond back to you, I'm like, whew, I'm important. You know, now, I hope you can grasp what I'm trying to communicate there, because I know that that's a little abstract. But it is so scary to me to think that we can put somebody like that, an important person in the community, and as long as they know me, then I am important too, and I can feel good about myself. I'm like, oh, come on. Or look at the next one, a family member, you know. And we yearn for our dad's approval or our mom's approval, or we yearn for something in our family, you know, in order to make us feel like we are worthy. And then the last one that I put, yourself. And this is where I'm out, I'm like, Pat, get that weight off, you know, go get a jacket that fits, go do this, you know. And we're like, oh man, I'm like, don't wear your hearing aids today, Pat, to the young adult class. I'm like, no, I'm going to wear my hearing aids today, okay? You know, it's like all of a sudden I am needing my own approval. I'm the judge. I'm the critic. I'm the one that can hold my thumb up, or I'm the one that can hold my thumb down about Pat Hoban. I make myself that powerful when the triune God has said, "You're my beloved. Pat, you are my beloved." And yet I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so." Next time I get in front of the young adult class at kind of at the end of July when I come back, I'm going to be 25 pounds thinner. And I'm going to have a good tan too, brother. Okay? You know? And we're like, "Oh, geez. No." Now, I can say this, in all honesty, I hope I do come back in here 25 pounds thinner. But not in order to feel acceptable. Not in order for you all to go, "Good job, Pat." Because it's irrelevant. Now, there may be a nutritionist in here and says, "Pat, at your age, you know, you really need to lose weight." And I'm like, "Thank you, I know that." Okay. But look at these things. And you may say, "It's not those that are most important to me. It's this, Pat. It's this one, Pat. It's this one." But it's something we need to be thinking about. And then this is where it takes us, the dangerous reality. And you have that on your page of what, you know, the dangerous reality is, that we make others G-O-D in our lives. And we've kind of already gone through this, you know, and it's like, the gods of our own making lead us into a form of slavery and bondage, not freedom, as we see in Galatians 5:13. And then, if you follow me with this, that is a form of shame and causes us to hide, fearing that if we are truly known, we would be rejected. I wished I could be telling you this as a joke. I'm dead serious. My office for the church is across the street in what the building we call Oaklawn West, okay? And as Reynolds already said, I want you all to know that the church stands with you in care and counseling, and if there's ever a need that you have, please don't hesitate to reach out, okay? That's just a little promo. But I want to tell you that there is frequently, I won't say weekly, I'll say 4, 5, 6 times a year, somebody will literally say in my office, "I'm not perfect like everybody else is," pointing over here to the big church. I'm like, "Stop. Don't believe that lie." But we can walk around out in the grand hall and we look pretty darn good. And we like that. And we keep up an image. And I've had young families where the husband will come in and he'll tell me that they have this powerful time of worship. Powerful time of worship. Deeply moved by it. Walks out with his family. They walk across the street. They get in their car and they realize that the family getting in next to them are getting into a car much, much nicer than theirs. And the next thing we know, he's back in bondage. He couldn't carry with him for more than 5 minutes what occurred in the worship service, and by the time he got to his car, that's what we're talking about here. It causes us to hide. It puts us back in bondage, fearing that if we were truly known, we would be rejected. And then the reality, as I've said already, the triune God knows us fully and loves us. I hope that we can really grasp that. That's the dangerous reality. Here we come again. You know, is there anyone in your God, in your life, that you could make G-O-D? And then, here's yourself. look at what happens here. The triune God has reached out in an incredible way, has expressed his love for you through the life-giving sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That love, as it says, is not earned. It is simply to be humbly received. And underscore the word humbly. To say, I'm not worthy of this. And he says, I've deemed you worthy. I'm like, okay. And so then when we understand how deeply the triune God loves us, wow. Then our lives, with our lives, with the incredible security that we are indeed lovable just as we are. Not, let me get this resolved. When we accept that reality, we understand why it is possible for us to truly love ourselves just as we are. Now, I'm not condoning sinful behavior at that point in time. The Holy Spirit will be convicting us of things that we need to see in our own hearts and lives to go, I cannot keep doing that. That brings us to a reality that says, oh Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to see behavior that needs to be addressed. And so then we come to our new reality. And I couldn't help but try to use this as a demonstration. We have a new reality. I've got my passport here with me. Okay? And I just would love, even just for you all to give me some feedback on this. What are some things that this passport allows me to do? Or that this passport proves to me that I can do some things? Any thoughts? Say it louder. Travel internationally. Yeah. I'm getting ready to have to do that at the end of the month. Okay. That's why I told my wife, I'm taking this, I'm putting it in my pocket. Make sure when I get home, I take it out of my pocket. Okay. All right. What else? Travel internationally. Say it again. Thank you. It proves that I'm an American citizen, which then gives me all the rights and privileges of an American citizen, which says I can vote, I can do a lot of other things, okay? This is a pretty darn important document, isn't it? Okay? It says a whole lot, and it, guess what? Right there is my picture. This is Pat Hoban's passport. And what I want you all to know is that while we don't have a literal in our hand document, we do have the Word of God, which is a form of a passport for us that says, you have all the rights and privileges. You are mine. Which says something even a little bit more than just that. It says, you know what? I'm with you. That is the new reality that we have. And I will come to this and start to land our plane here. That, let me go back here. Yeah, let me stop at this. It says, we live in all the freedom that is ours, given to us by the triune God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That freedom then gives us the wonderful gift of knowing that we are, look at this, lovable, and here we come, and that we can love ourselves. Not because, you know, as that fourth grade boy, our team won the championship, you know. That then allows us to fulfill the second law in a more deeply and fulfilling way, as now we can indeed love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what our world is desperately needing today. And so then the Matthew 29 passage, teacher, remember this, what is the greatest commandment? And that's when he reinforces, love your neighbor as yourself. And so here I come, instead of the dangerous reality, here's our God-given reality. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here we come. We joyfully fulfill those two laws when we understand the depths of the triune God love for us. I hope you see where Chris Hatley's teaching from last week and where I'm taking us today dovetail in beautifully and allow us to be able to say, I can love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind because I see how much he's loved me. I can love my neighbor as myself because I know I am lovable. I'm not having to earn anything. And then the reinforcing verse for us there, we love because he first loved us. Friends, this is our God-given reality. And today, it is my hope and prayer that you will be able to see clearly the difference between what I put up there as the dangerous reality and your God-given reality. And that you'll take the handout home with you, hopefully here today in your discussion, but taking it home with you and being able to say, Lord, which reality am I currently living out of? Which reality am I currently living out of? And then, just as we adjourn to our table discussion, I want to just say last week, again, Chris's question from last week, how does the Trinity, as he called it then, not the triune God, but how does the Trinity change the way you think about your relationship with God? Which then tees us up to these questions. How does the Trinity change your relationship about your relationship with yourself? What comes to mind when you think about the dangerous reality of taking our love for the triune God, and look at this, and giving it away to the gods of our making? Are you aware of anyone you have currently made G-O-D in your life? And then the last one. What, if anything, typically keeps us from believing we are lovable and living in our God-given reality? So, Lord, as we just now take some time around the table, I pray that you would give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, that you would allow us to be open and honest, and you'd allow us to be good listeners of others at our table. I thank you, Father, for the deep truth of your love for us. Thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you now how we can live here every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.